Talking Backwards is an independently produced program. If you would like to help support us and join our community of patrons, you can do so through our Patreon page at patreon.com/talkingbackwards. There you can find ways to not only help us grow the show, but also get access to exclusive merch, live streams, behind-the-scenes content, and even early access to upcoming episodes. That's patreon.com/talkingbackwards. We hope to see you in the future. Or is it past? This week on Talking Backwards, we navigate the misty miasma of a movie that is Fire, Walk With Me.
Fire. Chat with me.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Is this a fireside chat?
It is.
Well, let's get cooking. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Jameser Zone.
You are officially in the Jameser Zone.
Lucky you for actually not being here.
Tyler, you're all up in it.
Very Jameserous.
All up in the Jameser Zone.
I am Dave Jackson, joined by Patrick Mahan.
Hey, everybody.
And Tyler Mullins.
Hello.
Well, as we mentioned before, we are talking about Fire, Walk With Me, the Twin Peaks companion movie. Not a standalone movie.
Yeah. Also, not only a prequel, but also
a sequel.
Little bit of a sequel. It's a little bit of both.
And
I did not pick up on that. This felt very much like it was in one time and place, even though time in Twin Peaks.
Yep.
I get exactly. It. But this does not feel like it's anything that happens after season two.
I'll agree with that. I think the standout scene for me that is after season two is the scene with Annie. But we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Yeah, and he does pop up in this.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Do we have some Pat stats?
Well, only you would know.
The official Pat stats.
You could have been anywhere in the world tonight, but you're here with us.
Pat stats.
Haul out your boy for some Pat stats. Stats. Stats.
I hate the Pat stats.
Longest intro ever for a second. Just goes on and on.
Is that so much a stinger as it is?
Just a bruise.
Yeah, it's a good way to describe it. So this movie was directed by David Lynch,
mm-hmm.
Written by David Lynch and Robert Ingalls. Robert Ingalls was a writer and producer.
Robert on Ingalls,
the original Wilder. Series. Mark Frost was not involved in this movie. He is credited as an executive producer, I believe. I think I saw his name pop up in the opening credits, but he's not involved in this film. I think you have to give him obviously some credit because, yes, he's a co-creator of the Twin Peaks universe.
Yes.
So this movie was released about a year after the finale aired. Just box office failure in the U.S.
And nobody liked this.
Massive hit in Japan, though.
Yeah, I was going to say in the U.S.
Japan. They loved this movie. But yeah, it was a failure. I was actually trying to find out more information about the reaction that it got at Cannes Film Festival, because I've read and seen two different things about this. I've read different interviews. I believe one was with Robert Ingalls, who said, you know, I was there in the room and it didn't get booed. He's like, I don't think there was like a very positive reaction, but it didn't get booed. He's like, I don't remember hearing boos. But then I've seen interviews with like Ray Wise and like they're like, it got booed at Cannes, you know, and other people. And then it's just the reaction that it initially got was probably just for fans who wanted it to pick up after season two.
But which would have been 99% right. Of fans.
But David Lynch was adamant on seeing Laura Palmer live.
See, I can ask you about this, see if you know if this is true. Reading on the fandom earlier, it said that Kyle MacLachlan was reluctant to return out of fear of getting typecast.
Yeah. I don't know. I think from what I've read and seen with interviews with Kyle is I think he felt and I think a lot of the cast felt this way with Lynch kind of leaving them hanging in most of season two, that he just, I don't want to say he was like over it, but I think he was just like, I need to move on from this. I mean, you got to think too, this was happening right after the show got canceled.
How are you typecast?
That's what Dave
for
was.
A role you've played. Played.
Yeah, I know.
That was my question. Like, how would you have a fear of being typecast if you are literally reprising your role?
Yeah, he's this
it's not a new one. That's a similar character.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, I guess.
The same role.
Yeah.
It's just, it was funny to me to read that because I couldn't brain that.
Right. Well, he was supposed, so Cooper was supposed to be in the whole beginning of the movie. There was no Chet Desmond. So when Kyle declined.
I'm Chet Desmond.
You're the new anchorman.
Sam Stanley with the weather. Sam. Yeah.
He was supposed to be in the whole first part of that movie. Because even in the autobiography of Del Cooper that came out during the original series, he's the one that goes and helps do the Teresa Banks case. So they had to go rewrite all of this. And even the company that was funding this movie initially stopped funding it because Kyle declined. And then a month later, it was back on when he eventually agreed to be in it a little bit.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense to me because watching it and seeing the Desmond and Stanley stuff, like, wait, this is Cooper's case.
Yeah.
Like, he's talked about this already.
Right.
Like, why is it these two new winners, for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But
love it.
Why are these guys here?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Coop is way more concerned with delays on security cameras.
Yep.
He's just testing for fidelity.
Yes.
Yeah, let's dive into this.
I just have one question.
Oh, yeah, let's hear that.
Who killed Paula Merle?
Okay. Find out someday.
3 years from now.
On Talking. We've got other things to get to.
On Talking Spires.
Tyler watched the Psych episode last night. Dual Spires.
12 foreheads.
Whoa, that's a higher. There's only five. You can only give it five.
The look of, I don't know what to do now. Cross your face. You have seen the movie, though.
Yes, you were there.
Yeah, America was there.
We had a watch party a couple of weeks ago for Firewalk With Me. It was Tyler's first viewing. Foom. That's actually where the joke of the James Zone came from.
Yes.
From our listeners that were watching along with us in the chat. That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Every time, I mean, this is only the second time we've done this, but I've loved it. It's gone way better than I thought.
Yeah.
Thanks to everyone who participated and joined us. We'll hopefully do some more very soon.
I was nervous as to how much fun I was going to have doing the live stream because I would say the first half of the movie is pretty fun.
It is, definitely.
The back half is uncomfortable.
Totally. Last 45 minutes is
just genuinely
rough.
I wasn't sure how I was going to feel being seen, seeing this with other people.
Yeah, I was glad my chat, my internet went out at one particular moment.
It was perfect. Totally dropped out.
Yeah. So let's get started. What I love about the opening credits is you're not realizing it's on static, like TV static, you know, and it slowly zooms out to.
It looks like blue fire, honestly.
It does, yeah. So you eventually zoom out and you see that you're looking at a TV, which gets smashed, which I love as that being sort of a play on, hey, that show didn't go well on TV. Let's smash the TV.
It's 90s Nerf charts. Commercial.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, forget those other commercials.
Yeah. It's like Dave just being...
Nerf.
David Lynch just being like, you know what? Screw the network. Screw the TV. Yeah. This is what we're doing. TV is smashed.
I start my own network.
Obviously, later in the movie, we find out this is essentially the scene where Leland Bob is murdering Teresa Banks. Mm-hmm. And then right after this, we're seeing the shot of her wrapped in plastic.
Yep.
Floating.
Yep, yep, yep. So we get a bunch of new characters.
Yep, another character
jump. This is what we do.
This is what we do in Twin Peaks.
We have Chris Isaac and Kiefer Sutherland.
Every time. Yeah, of all people. Well, so David Lynch had worked with Chris Isaac on the movie he did in 1990, Wild at Heart, starring Nicolas Cage and Laura Dern.
Ooh.
Great movie.
Sounds amazing.
this Wicked Game is in that movie and kind of what shot it to popularity was being in that film. And I don't really know if Chris Isaac had done too much acting before this, if at all.
It didn't seem like he had.
No. I mean, he's not.
What year was this?
This came out in 92.
Oh, okay.
This was prior to the Chris Isaac Show and That Thing You Do.
And Friends. His line in Friends is, "I don't know much about music."
Amazing. That is incredible. And then Kiefer Sutherland, young Kiefer Sutherland. I mean,
very young.
He'd done a lot of stuff too, though, in '80s. But man, what a duo.
Pre Jack Bauer.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I love this team. It shouldn't make sense, but I'm all for it.
No, I need a movie of that.
Yeah, I need their spinoffs.
I need a more of them. Where are they now? Kind of, I don't know.
Which, yeah, where is Chet Desmond now?
Yeah, where is Chet?
Yeah, what happened? Wait, so he, I guess, disappeared into the.
Yeah, and that is.
I mean, Blackman. I think that would
that
be,
is positive, but it is not made clear.
No.
Because, okay, so as a movie, I would have booed this.
That's where Chet's story ends.
Yeah, it's so abrupt. It's so like as a
finds
movie,
the ring.
As a movie, this does not work. It only works in the space of I have just watched the TV series, and now this is the filler to like, you know, cover up anything that we might have missed or some backstory that we didn't have before.
Well, I do like, at least in the scene right after it with Jeffries, that Albert is on the phone and he's like, Chet Desmond has disappeared. So at least gives you that sort of, okay, he's vanished.
Yeah.
But yes, did he go into the lodge? I don't know. That's another thing. If we're talking about like.
I feel like he did, because didn't the ring.
Yeah. The ring is associated with the lodge. I think it's logical to assume that he's in the lodge.
But is lodge, the lodge, it, does the lodge exist in that one trailer?
I think that there's clearly a space there at the Fat Trout Trailer Park that is spooky-ooky, in the words of Dave,
yes.
that could be a portal to the lodge.
Because,
I like the idea that the lodge exists in the trailer, and then the trailer can move freely through space and time.
I like that, too.
It's
That's
a
great.
Mobile home.
Yes.
I like that, too, a lot, Tyler.
I like the idea that there's a portal somewhere there in the trailer park, because the... would you call it a superintendent or like the general landlord of the place?
Carl Rod.
Yeah. He says, I've already gone places. I just want to stay where I am at one point during there. It's like, I just feel like that means that he has at one point just like
seen some shit,
stepped over the bounds, looked around, just like, whoa, nope, not here.
Yeah. He had one foot in the lodge.
Yeah. One foot in the lodge.
One foot out.
And one foot on a banana peel.
Yeah, but he needs to fix that water heater.
Was there a puddle of mud at the trailer?
There was a pound of dirt.
Yeah,
but I don't know if there was a puddle of mud.
Whatever.
Scorched engine oil.
Yeah.
So yeah, did the whole trailer vanish when he vanished? Because there's just that spot.
That's my theory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
he's living
everything
in the trailer.
Is contained within the trailer.
Chet's now living in the trailer.
Just floating through space.
Yeah.
Space trailer.
Yes.
Band name called it.
Space garbage.
It's unfortunate he didn't get to solve that case with the school buses at the beginning of the movie.
Okay.
Yeah, we got it. We can't just gloss over that.
Yeah.
What?
So there's a school bus of screaming children.
Why are they so distraught?
They're upset. And there's two what I assume to be prostitutes outside of the bus and the bus driver getting arrested.
Yeah. Yes. For transporting a prostitute?
I need more context for this scene.
Those children are
and then,
so
like,
scared.
Isn't there like a cop just like
yeah,
with
standing
a gun
there
trained.
With a gun just like brandishing at someone?
Yeah.
It was weird.
Like, yet I need more. Like, again, as a movie, this fails. I have no context for
I
this.
Love it.
It
I love
does
it.
Not. Like, did these prostitutes ride the bus every day and they became like mother figures to these children and they're so upset because they never thought they were capable of such a thing?
The driver was using the bus to transport prostitutes.
Just with the kids, just on the bus?
Correct.
Maybe they were seeking her. Maybe they were trying to finish their vocation.
Yeah. The driver did not care. So yeah, Gordon calls.
Gordon Cole.
He's on. Yeah, Gordon Cole.
Gordon Cole calls.
He calls Chet Desmond to notify him about the Teresa Banks case.
And yes,
he's got to head up to Deer Meadow to figure it out.
Whole lot of shaking going on in Deer Meadow.
Whole lot of shaking down in Bend. Oregon.
Oregon.
So they meet up so that Cole can give him some information.
He has a surprise for him.
Yes. A nice surprise.
I know that I made the same joke on the live stream, but there's this chick doing something crazy.
Her name is Lil.
Just like pursing up her face and squeezing her hand and walking
sour
in place
face.
And turning around and
squeezing her hand.
And he says, "Here's your surprise," and just points over and says, "Her name is Lil.
And she's my mother's sister's girl."
And so she's just doing this weird stuff, and I'm just thinking, I don't want that.
That's David Lynch. Else. That's David Lynch presenting Twin Peaks to you and saying, "Figure it out." Lil is Twin Peaks. Do what you can with it.
Yeah, but I actually really like this. I'm gonna really show my age here in a second. I really liked that everything that she was doing was symbolic for something. It's their kind of code.
Truthfully, I was surprised they explained it.
Right.
Like in the very next scene, Sam is asking Chet about this,
and
Chet
breaks it down.
He says everything except for explaining what Blue Rose means.
Right.
What does it mean?
It's just the space cases.
Basically the name of these cases.
Blue Rose.
Yeah.
Which ties back to what I was going to talk about, because there was a Nickelodeon show called Space Cases. It was a long time ago.
I don't remember that one.
I don't either.
It was...
You sure didn't dream it?
No, it was the Power Ranger that played Zach was the lead role. It was a really old show. The theme song slaps. It's so good. I don't know if the show is still good.
Look at this picture.
Pretty good, right?
Space Case.
With his eraser top haircut.
Yeah.
Yep. So there was one episode in particular.
It only aired 96.
Oh, wow.
I think it had two seasons, maybe. But there was one episode in particular where, like, the spaceship that they're on their space case slips into an alternate dimension, and they see this, like, TV feed of different versions of themselves doing stuff like this. Like, one guy's pointing at one of his antennas, somebody's, like shaking their head no, and stuff like that, and everything means something, and they have to figure out, they have to crack the code.
Right. Crack the code, solve the crime.
Exactly. In order to get back home. And this reminded me so much of that. I love when there's weird stuff like that. Like, here's this unexplained motion, but it actually does mean something. It's like solving a puzzle.
All right. I think David Lynch is also, this is so early on in the film too, that I think he's saying, yes, pay attention to literally everything. Mm-hmm. Just pay attention and try to figure it out.
And thank you for explaining it. I could not have sat on that image for 2+ hours.
What was that?
Oh, well. Well, I'll explain it to you. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, what? That's bizarre. That's actually the weirdest part of the movie. Yeah. Is that we got an explanation for something.
Yeah, the local police station's a pretty weird setup. I don't like any of these characters.
No, they're all like really, they're all opposite of Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Where Twin Peaks was so welcoming, inviting. This place sucks.
Yeah, this is...
This place sucks. I want to be here. Coffee's been sitting out for 2 days.
Yeah. It's got the sting of the 48-hour blend.
Screw you, man. But with Peak being like the mountaintop.
Yeah.
Meadow being...
Not the mountaintop.
No. Meadow being grass.
And deer always travel in ones.
That is a freaking lie.
Yep. That's it.
I'm a lone wolf. Lone wolf deer.
But yeah, I love even with
that deer has a leather jacket on,
and you can
that deer's fucking cool.
This crosses over too with Haps being just sort of the gross version of the double R, you know?
Yeah, it's
just a bizarro. It's a Twin Peaks.
It's a double.
Yeah.
It's a double. I made a note. Desmond looks. There's a framed newspaper in the sheriff's station.
Mm-hmm.
Or on the sheriff's wall. And the headline says cable bins steal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sheriff Cable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cable bins steal. So he's a steel bender. Regular old steel.
Great.
Bender. I do. I liked how Chet took care of business when he got tired of dealing with the sheriff.
Amazing.
Or the deputy.
The deputy. Bizarro Andy.
Yeah, those guys suck.
Just cranks his nose and sits him down and is like, start a fresh pot of coffee.
Yeah, I don't like this place.
Yeah.
Yeah, get me out of here.
Yeah.
I'm glad somebody finally took a hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. But they stay up
late
examining the corpse of Teresa Banks into the wee hours.
Mm.
I love that too, because it's just like they don't ever sleep. Or Chet doesn't, I should say.
He's he's fucking Chet Desmond.
He goes all night.
That's right.
We did get another nail scene.
He's always left me satisfied and smiling. So
we got another nail scene.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
Oh, yeah. This nail scene is different than the others.
It's a lot different than the others.
It's awful.
Woo!
Yeah, we can
Coop
more...
is way better at nail digging.
It's like, true. What is this? We got to get this out of here.
Like, I don't. It's stuff like that. It's like. You made it so simple in the pilot,
mm-hmm.
but this, which is a prequel.
He's also got a super powered magnifying glass that he's looking at the fingernail with, and Coop did it with just a little pocket magnifier that he had on him.
And just some tweezers.
They've got like a science microscope.
Everybody works different.
Like about the split atoms.
They didn't get the same training.
They should have.
When looking under fingernails, you don't have to take the nail off.
Was that Andy?
Yeah.
Andy
was
training. Welcome to Nails 101
with Andy Brennan.
Now I'm going to try and get through today's class without crying. It did happen yesterday.
I will be your guide
on all things nail.
On this Twin Peaks University orientation.
So it's, 3:30 a.m., they say,
mm-hmm.
when they're going to get food.
Go to
shouldn't we get to sleep? No, we're going to go get more energy.
Nicotine.
We're going to go eat.
Caffeine.
So this opening scene at Haps, what? This guy is like talking to them. Like, is this the entrance?
I
couldn't tell if this was the entrance of the place or like they're in some back room with this guy.
It looks like they came in through a broom closet in the back.
Right, which
is probably the grand entrance to this place.
You exit through the real entrance.
Yeah. Yeah, you come in the front in the double R. You come in the back.
Yeah. Okay. I can go with that.
Sure.
Yeah. I can go with that.
Yeah, it's like a storage closet.
But yeah, he's just like, her name is Irene. Don't I forgot how he words it. He's like, don't ask about it or it's don't. Like,
don't fuck with Irene.
Yeah. It's like, okay.
Yeah, he's like, her name is Irene, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Don't take it any further than that. Okay.
Are you that defensive already? We haven't even spoken. Yeah.
I do like when they're in here, though, we get a couple of flashes, the signature Lynch flashes of lights. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and we learn later that electricity is kind of a big theme in this movie. Exactly.
Electricity.
So it makes you wonder if this plays into, you know, the lodge spirits. Are they around? Is there something about this place that's, you know?
They're in the wires, man.
But besides the flashes of light, I love the lighting in this place. I love the Haps, like, logo, like, blasted on a light behind where they're sitting. I think it's great. I love the neon signs outside. I just love the look of...
It's kind of like the double R and the Roadhouse had an illegitimate child.
Yeah, yeah.
It is Haps.
They didn't have enough time in the movie to go to another doppelganger version of Twin Peaks. You had to just combine the double R and the Roadhouse with Haps.
Yeah, the Haps scene is weird. I don't think I would ask Irene anything other than her name.
Yeah.
And it's on your name tag? Great. I know all I need to know about you.
Yeah.
So Teresa worked...
Mm-hmm. Got into the drugs. There's a lady in the background with an older guy who is speaking French, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is not new to Twin Peaks as a universe.
No.
Like, French comes up a lot.
Yep.
And I looked it up earlier. I think what she says translates to night is the right time or is a good time.
Yeah.
but why? But why?
That's what, because Laura says, like, nighttime is my time.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Later, yeah.
Just a similar wordage.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, when she's talking to Donna and she's like, the night is my time.
Nighttime, my time.
Like, is she talking to Donna?
We'll get to
she's
it.
She's kind of talking at Donna.
Is it Donna?
Oh, it's Donna.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it. This leads them to Fat Trout.
Mm-hmm.
With our dear friend, Carl. Carl Rod. By the late, great Harry Dean Stanton.
Carl.
Who's amazing.
R.I.P.
I love this character. The sign on his door, do not disturb before 9 a.m. ever. And I love because they come up, knock on the door, and they like see the sign, and they have to like look and see what time it is. Mm-hmm. It's clearly before 9 a.m.
And they freak
and
out.
You can tell by his reaction, too. Well, yeah, because you don't know if this guy's going to come out with like a gun
right,
you know, or something. I love his reaction because he's just like, I don't want to be doing any of this. He's like,
we love this guy.
We love this guy. So
Good morning, America.
They go and investigate her trailer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a picture of her. There's a picture. The picture of her is, it shows her wearing the ring,
mm-hmm.
which we don't know anything about at this point.
Right.
What is this green ring?
I'm still confused.
I'm still confused about a lot of it. We can have an
episode on the ring at some point.
The movie?
No.
Yeah, we've never seen Teresa Banks before. We've only heard about her in the series. So getting to actually put a face to the name was cool. But it's still, it's so open-ended still. Like, what I was hoping to get out of this movie was, one, I thought it might be more of a standalone experience, but it is certainly not. So if you hadn't ever heard of Teresa Banks before, then it doesn't really give you anything to hear about her. It's like, okay, here's this person.
And it's not that we heard about her not even a handful of times in the original series. I mean, she was brought up for sure, but you weren't given anything to like think about it a whole lot. Other than this has happened before.
Other than the fact that that was the catalyst or one of the catalysts that got Cooper to Twin Peaks later because it was tied to the same case. Right. So he was there to work it.
Exactly.
It was his following up.
Yeah.
And it's not even his case.
Well, I think now the way you can look at it is that it becomes his case after Chet disappears.
Yeah. But Sam doesn't disappear.
I mean, he does.
I mean,
he does disappear.
In the movie, he does, yes. Right, yeah. But like, why is he not showing back up to headquarters just like, hey, yo, my partner vanished into thin air.
Yeah. Do we want
to do anything about this?
Yeah.
Who would like to,
I'd like to file
start
a
looking
complaint.
For him?
I think Sam retired immediately. He's like, I'm done.
He just took up
a new job.
Took up a rural life in Deer Meadow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
fixing water
stuck
heaters.
Around.
Like, I really like it here.
He's the water heater guy for that trailer park. After Chet disappears, after he finds the ring and just is done, and we go back to Cooper and Cole.
Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia at headquarters. I feel like right at that point, this whole thing just takes a heel turn.
It does.
And it becomes basically a different season of the same movie.
Right, yeah. It does. That was almost just like a...
Totally, completely different.
It was like an opening episode. You're just like, this is a 30-minute, like...
Yeah, it's like a 30-minute cold open.
It's its own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's this, which, too, is its own thing.
Yeah.
And then you
very
get
self-encapsulated.
The Laura Palmer.
Then to Laura and on, yeah.
So, with that, let's dive into the Philadelphia scene. Because <Yeah. laughs> I'm dying to.
Let's get into the Philadelphia scene.
So, I love everything about this. With Cooper walking into the room, you hear a little bit of the faint Twin Peaks music from mm-hmm. the original series, which I think is just done so well. It's just like a mm-hmm. great entrance for him with that playing faintly. But he comes in, he tells Cole that he's worried about a dream that he told you about, and then it immediately cuts to him staring at this monitor.
Mm-hmm.
What's he looking at? And he's walking out into the hall, looking at the monitor, looking at the camera, walking back into the room, looking at the monitor.
Yeah.
What's he looking for?
So at first, I related it to kind of... like when you're a kid and you go to the grocery store with your mom and you see the security camera feed and then you find the camera, you're like, oh, that's me.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
And you point at the camera and you look at the monitor, like make sure you're looking at the right one.
I do that at the guest checkout at Target. It's like right at me.
Oh, yeah.
It's
like
grow
right
up.
It's right in your face.
I'm like, I do jazz hands.
I was about to say, if you could see that, it'd be really funny.
Spirit fingers.
So, yeah. So, as Cooper is monitoring the situation, an elevator opens.
Yes.
There's a number 7 on the elevator. Makes me think they're on the 7th floor.
Mm.
Out walks a man.
Yes.
He looks familiar.
He kind of looks like somebody, doesn't he?
He kind of looks like a rock star.
Let's dance.
He is wearing red shoes, isn't he?
And dancing the blues.
Yeah, he's dancing the blues. So
it's David Bowie.
It's David Bowie.
It's David Bowie.
Ziggy Stardust.
He comes walking in to the FBI headquarters.
Like a lad insane.
Yeah. Oh,
hey.
I get it.
What?
Oh, that's a Bowie album, Aladdin Sane. He's walking down the hall.
Yeah.
Coop sees this.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the
He walks into
flag.
The room. Yeah, he walks into the room where Gordon is. It's weird because I've never seen Cooper really like...
distraught?
Yeah, distraught and like running like this. Like,
Gordon!
Yeah, yelling, yeah, Gordon. Gordon? We get a lot of information kind of quickly. And not a lot of information, but we find out that this is Philip Jeffries.
We get a lot of words.
Yeah, we get a lot of words. But it actually doesn't mean anything.
But this is all pointless.
No.
Isn't it? Like, I mean, none of this stuff is ever referenced in the show, is it?
This is the stuff. This stuff, no, it's not referenced in the show, like in the show you've already seen.
Correct.
Not in season 1 or 2, no.
Yes. So I assume it's referenced in The Return.
We'll have to see. So we find out that this is Philip Jeffries.
Mm-hmm. Been missing for 2 years.
Yeah, he's just been MIA. Maybe in a similar situation to Chet. Very Wait, possible.
Well, yeah, like you were saying, Albert was on
maybe
the phone.
Maybe it's a one-in, one-out program.
Yeah, it seems like that, because Albert was on the phone. It's like, hey, Chet Desmond just disappeared, and now here's Philip Jeffries.
But you'll never guess who showed up.
Which is crazy, because he also just disappeared from Jeffries after just being here.
Yeah,
but we'll get to that in a second. So he comes in, starts saying a lot of nonsense. He says, we're not going to talk about Judy.
Matter of fact, we're going to leave Judy out of this.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about Judy at all.
Who's Judy?
And then he brings Judy up again.
Yeah.
Judy is certain of this.
I think one of the most interesting things that happens here is he points at Coop, who we think they've never met,
mm-hmm.
and he says, who do you think that is there?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Bob?
That's weird.
No, it's not Bob.
No, it's not. I think, but...
He hasn't even encountered Bob yet.
Hold on.
Tyler's got something.
Oh, you got beef?
No. I just want to kick you a scenario.
Kick it to me.
What if it is Bob? Chew on that.
I'm going to kick that back to you.
Ass! Ass!
Well, okay, so... to go with... This makes me wonder what he knows. And if he said, because who knows with...
Kick that back over real quick. I'll chew on it.
All right. What if it's Bob?
It makes you wonder how much Philip knows.
Mm-hmm.
Could he have...
done a little time traveling, maybe?
Well, I could say time travel, or if he's had dreams about this.
Or did he have just visions of things to come?
Right. Does he know about Boop?
Betty?
No, Bob Coop is what you called Boop.
Yes.
Which is what we'll refer to the show.
What? Boop.
What? Does he know about Boop? Because he
I can't take that seriously.
He points at him. Who do you think that is there?
Right.
That line is just.
Where do you get off?
It's great. So as this happens too, as he points at Coop immediately, things get staticky.
Yep.
All of a sudden, there is a man with a very pointy nose.
Yeah. So this is kind of in a... This has been stuck in my craw about this guy, who is credited as the jumping man.
Yeah, which he jumps.
He does jump. Guy in a red suit, holding a slingshot or like one of those Blair Witch dolls.
Yeah,
and has the kind of Zach from Power Rangers haircut, just the straight up eraser.
Yeah,
which. Which could be referential to Eraserhead too. I don't know, but
absolutely.
And white mask, super pointy nose, and says electricity and just jumps around a little bit, not that much, yeah. but it's just this guy.
Yeah.
And they're just there. There are two guys that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
There's okay.
Because we're immediately taken to what we learn is the room above the convenience store.
What I believe you call convenience store.
Yes.
Yeah, this is the place Mike had talked about before. Yeah. So this is where they all kind of get together and have their hang sessions.
You see Bob, the man from another place, Miss Tremond, her grandson. We've only seen the one in the one episode.
Yeah.
Like episode two or whatever of season two. Long time ago. I love that that's brought back.
Yeah, so it's all the spirits that we've encountered so far, plus some.
Some more, yeah, plus some.
So there's Bob. Not Mike.
Yeah, which is...
He's not there.
He died in the international pilot.
That's right. So there's Bob, there's Miss Tremond, the grandson, the jumping man, this lumberjack. Mm-hmm. Am I missing somebody?
There's a monkey in there.
There is a monkey in there. Mm-hmm. What is this? What is this meeting about?
Yeah, right.
Like legitimately in the context, like let's say you're a lodge spirit and you go to the weekly lodge meeting.
Yeah.
It looks like everybody just kind of sits in chairs and stews.
Yeah. And watch it. And well, yeah. So the jumping man's like kind of the only one doing a lot of movement.
Is MFAP here?
Yeah. He's sitting there at the table.
DR.
Yeah.
So with the jumping man,
they form like a table.
Is he the magician who longs to see from the poem?
Shit. I don't know.
Because the cream corn.
What poem?
Well, the cream, you know, the magician longs to see the fire walk with me.
Oh, you're talking about the grandson.
Yeah. He's magic. Learning. That's what I'm saying. He's learning magic from the jumping man.
Hmm.
He's watching him. He's learning magic. And she says in that episode, you know, this is my grandson. He's learning magic. So I'm wondering if he's watching
like
the jumping man. Also, just wonder if the jumping man has any sort of connection with Cooper only because he appears immediately when Jeffries points at him. Who do you think that is there? The static comes up and then there's the jumping man.
Right.
So I don't know if there's some connection there. I don't know. I'm just speaking out loud.
Well, because
trying to make connections.
There's no other context for this guy.
Absolutely not.
Or the lumberjack.
Nope. He's just sitting there. Lumberjack.
Who like, like does a reverse knee slap. Like, yeah. Like, oh, that was a good one. but it's in reverse. So it's like,
And I wonder too with the, we're going to jump very far ahead here, but with the monkey, I want to talk about the monkey for a second.
Let's talk about this monkey.
There's a scene at the very end of the movie that shows the monkey
at
the very end, and he says Judy. Mm. So it makes me wonder when Jeffrey says, I've been to one of their meetings, if he's the monkey in this scene, because the monkey's the only one that says Judy like at the end of the movie, and the only time we ever hear the words Judy are from Jeffrey's.
Is this the same monkey from Lynch's?
The Jack.
What
did Jack do?
Yeah.
I think it's confirmed it is not the same monkey.
Are you sure? He has a J name. Nervous about meeting Jay tonight.
Whoa.
Jack and Judy.
Jack and Judy.
Damn.
Why do I know that pairing?
Let's Google it. So yeah, that's just something that I ponder, trying to make those connections with the monkey and Jeffries.
I never would have parsed that, but now that you've said it, I can't unthink it.
Right, I know.
Why would he be a monkey?
My heart says no.
Why would that be his form in there? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Why is any of this happening?
Why is the monkey there at all?
Yeah. Let's jump and talk to what the man from another place is talking about.
Just loves tables, man.
Formica table. He talks about with this ring, I thee wed.
Yeah.
More references to the ring. This also is not the first reference of rings in this series.
Mm-mm.
We've had Cooper's ring,
yep.
You know, the gold circles, and even the circle of sycamores. There's circles that are, I feel like, very prominent in the show.
Oh, we're lousy with circles.
Yeah. So this is just another circle.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like this is where we at least get the connection that, okay, that the ring is certainly connected to this. The lodge.
Okay, I do have a theory about the ring here.
Let's hear it.
So the man from another place who calls himself the arm in this movie has this ring, and
which is also like another, we get another name for someone, I guess, another second name for someone.
But it's, I feel like that's his actual name because he's Mike's severed arm.
Yep. Right.
And so when they're actually together, they're finally like whole.
Yeah.
But he has this ring that ends up being, for whatever reason, the thing that keeps Bob from being able to take Laura over, to like possess her. And I think that relates to Mike kind of being anti-Bob. And somehow, it's like with this ring, I thee wed. It's like, till death do us part, mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, you're safe until you're dead.
Yeah.
Pretty much, in that sense.
That's a pretty fair assumption.
Yeah.
In life.
You're safe until you're dead.
I think that's actually what...
Then you've blown it somewhere.
That's actually one of the most interesting parts of this movie, too, is that Bob was trying to possess Laura.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's... Because, I mean, we this is not something we knew prior to this. So right, I think that's actually really interesting.
There's been a couple of little hints to it in the diary from...
Sure.
From the seasons on TV. But it was never explicitly like that was his goal. Like, he wanted to take her over. And that's kind of with the running theme of everybody kind of wanting to be like Laura and be Laura.
She's already crazy. Like, what more could he do?
I think that she was driven crazy from an early age. It's not just that she's that vulnerable. I think it's like she has been through so much to this point that from resisting, she's gotten crazy.
Yeah.
And so you would think that she'd be broken down enough that he can just... take her over the way he took Leland.
Yeah.
But she never stops pushing back, pretty much. Yeah. And that drives her to do all these crazy things in her life. Yeah.
To take her mind off of the pain.
Yeah. The movie is very important for the character of Laura Palmer.
Yeah.
And I will not take that away from it. But everything that does not have to do with Laura Palmer is just batshit disconnected.
Like what we're talking about now.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little more about this. We get the name for the cream corn.
Garmon Bogia.
Yeah.
Or pain and sorrow.
Which means pain and sorrow.
All right.
So that's basically what they feed on is everyone's pain. All these spirits feed on everyone's pain.
But he does it like a cereal commercial.
Yeah.
Apple Jacks.
Yeah.
Garmon Bogia.
Yep. We're still getting cuts back to Jeffries here.
Mm-hmm,
we're
mm-hmm.
also getting cuts to electricity of mm-hmm. poles and wires. So this got me thinking is, because as they're showing that, those images with Jeffries, is that how he's traveling? Is that how he's got here? Because we find out that he was never there. We find out that Jeffries was never in the building when Albert, or they ring the front desk, you know, he was never here.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go and confirm that he was here.
Just came popping out of a light bulb.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah. So like, is he traveling? Because we're clearly shown in these shots of Jeffries, mm-hmm. all of the poles and electricity and the sounds, that is that how he traveled?
Well, I mean,
Tyler made a comment too in the live stream.
Mm-hmm.
What did you say? Do you remember about this? You said something about Bob, and it wasn't about maybe this specifically, but it was about
the... That was Bob traveling through the phone line or something.
Right.
Casper style.
Yeah. So Tyler picked up on that because I was like, stop.
I think good. That's when you told me to shut up.
Yeah, I was like, don't do this to me. Does anybody have anything else on the Jeffries?
That would make just a lot of sense real world because a lot of paranormal activity is associated with electricity, wires, even on that show Ghost Hunters that used to come on, they would debunk a lot of hauntings, quote unquote, by just finding hot spots.
Would they indeed?
Yes. they'd find spots in the house where maybe the wiring wasn't grounded well or there wasn't a lot of shielding around wires, and it produces this electrical field that makes people feel like there's
EMF
somebody watching them.
Spots.
Yeah. There's somebody watching them or like their hair stands up on end. And sometimes it's just unshielded wiring around. But there's also theories that spirits have more of a presence if you have a haunting, if there's exposed wiring, because they can use that energy field to get around and manipulate things. So just as far as ghost lore that's established real world, it's a direct translation to this.
Yeah.
Real world.
Also, with...
Ghosts are real.
We don't talk about the pole at the Fat Trout that Chet notices with like the number 6 on it.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that significant?
Yeah, well, what's with the numbers? Because I didn't really research that.
I can't say.
Dewey Decimal System?
Okay. Other than I think it's just just showcasing that specific pole.
Mm.
But,
pole 6.
Again, it's more electricity stuff.
Yeah.
And with this, with the trailer park, that something's going on.
Right.
Are we talking about that weird lady?
That's what I was going to bring up too. Yeah. So, when Carrod brings in the coffee, they're just in there drinking, and suddenly this lady,
eye patch lady.
Yeah.
Did she have an eye patch?
No, eye patch. No, she had a thing on her eye. She had an ice pack.
Oh, ice pack. Yeah, that's
right.
She's
got a cane.
Ice pack lady.
Ice pack.
Her face is all dirty. She doesn't say anything. She just looks at him because Chet's like, "Did you know Teresa Banks?"
She just looks like a homeless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's when Carrod gets like changes completely and is like, mm-hmm. I've
been places.
Been places. And that's when they focus for the first time on the pole.
Mm-hmm.
They cut to the pole 6.
Mm-hmm.
And then they show it later when Chet goes back at night, when he disappears, they show the pole again.
Is it the same pole?
Same pole, same number.
Wow. Mm. What does it mean?
There's also, I don't know if it's in that scene with Carrod, but there's a moment when I thought it was when they were in their trailer that he looks over and he just sees an electric outlet.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Anyway, electricity is important.
Without it, we would not be able to bring you this sweet, sweet podcast.
This podcast is brought to you by
electricity. Thank you, Benjamin Franklin, for inventing electricity.
Also minor, though, with the Jeffrey scene, it's good to see Albert.
Oh, yeah.
Great. He's there for this.
Funny, I thought we were going to leave Judy out of this.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about Judy, but let me talk about her like 10 times.
Who's Judy?
I don't know. Cole introduces Jeffrey. He's like the long-lost Philip Jeffries. You may have heard of him at the Academy. It is brought up in the autobiography of Dale Cooper that Cole and Jeffries graduated Quantico together.
Okay. Yeah. He's a vet.
He's a Blue Rose Man.
He's a Blue Rose Man.
It's an old country song.
Oh, is it really?
I'm a blue... No. I'm a Blue Rose Man. It's going to be. We're writing it tonight.
Night is the right time.
Yeah. Night time is my time. Okay. So we go back to Fat Trout. Cooper goes to investigate Chet Desmond's disappearance.
I'm Chet Desmond.
Yeah, Carrod makes it very...
What's his name? Y'all keep saying...
Carrod?
Carrod.
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 As in hot rod, but with Carl instead of hot.
Gotcha.
Super
and
hot.
And two Ds.
Super rod. Yeah, when Carrod is showing Dale the trailer, he tells him the exact same thing he told the other guys, like, I didn't touch anything.
Yeah.
So it's fine. It's just like I found it.
Cooper's investigating Chet Desmond's disappearance.
Mm-hmm.
He finally finds the trailer, which is not there.
Mm-hmm.
He sees the mound of dirt. And he also asks about his car. His car's still
there? Yeah, his car's still there.
Yep, and it has Let's Rock written on it.
Little graffito.
Yep, which we heard that mm-hmm. before.
Which, did the arm just like show up and like jump up on the hood and just...
Yeah, dry, yeah.
Bring out one of those paint markers and it's like...
I think it was that old woman with the...
Put the ice pack.
I think she did it. I think she's just going with that. That gives her significance.
She's been tagging the whole place.
Yeah, that gives her significance. We'll go with that. And then Tyler, Coop goes over. He's looking at the river where Teresa Banks was.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking to Diane.
Who the hell is Diane?
Dave, you want to take this one?
I just burped. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh.
Even the microphone wanted out of that one.
Yeah, it like lifted up and out of my face.
Wind River. Name of the river.
Earl Wyndham?
Wind River?
Yep. As in Wyndham
River.
Wyndham River.
Who the fuck is Diane?
So angry.
Wow.
God.
I need you to back that energy
up.
Now
you don't even deserve to know what that is.
I've been waiting for like 30 episodes and a movie. To find out.
I think you're going to find out, but as the song goes, who knows where or when. Right?
Yep. Baby, I'm going to want you to tell me who Diane is.
Okay. And now we're off to Twin Peaks. Thanks for listening to part one of Talking Backwards Fire Walk with me. We'll be back next week to discuss the rest of the movie.
If there's anything that we missed that you think we should have brought up, you can hit us up at talkingbackwardspod@gmail.com. We're also on Instagram at talkingbackwardspod. Patrick?
You can hit us up on Twitter at talkingbackward.
Tyler?
I'm Jet Desmond.
And I'm Sam Stanley.
Anchor.fm/talkingbackwards is home base. Feel free to support us on there if you feel it in your heart. And thank you for sticking with us. Also, we have merch.
T-Public. I got merch.
tpublic.com. Get a shirt. Get a mug. Get a mask. Wear a mask.
Cream Corn Boy wears a mask. You can too. The boy, Miss Tremont's grandson, who's actually not the same. It's not Lynch's kid in this one. It's a different kid.
Not what? Scofro?
Different kid.
What?
But he holds up a mask, a pointy mask.
Yes.
In front of his face.
Much like the Jumping Man's.
Much like the Jumping Man.
But why?
Yeah, but why? Not the first.
It doesn't even have eye holes.
Not the first white mask we've seen.
Not the first white mask we've seen.
We've seen one with Audrey at One Eye Jack's. We've seen one in Cooper's bed.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Caroline's death mask.
She's so beautiful.
I would know. I'm the death mask expert.
Death mask expert.
Let's take a break.